Hi everyone, it's Roger and Jeremy here from What's On at Disney Plus podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about Who Framed Roger Rabbit. This one was picked by our Patreon and YouTube channel members. It was an easy outliner of what everyone wanted us to watch. Got loads of votes for this one. Loads of people. Now, as with Patreon and YouTube channel members, they get early access to these episodes as a perk. They also get to vote on them. And you become a member from as little as $2 a month. But let's jump into it. So Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Now, unsurprisingly, this was a movie which came out just, I think I was about like 8 or 9 years old, and I'm called Roger. So you can imagine how my entire life at school went for a few years and ever since the movie's ever come out. I've heard Roger Rabbit, yeah, okay. I've heard the joke 1,000 times. So in that sense, it was one of those annoying things. But obviously I remember going to like Disney parks and buying merchandise that actually was a character called Roger. Was fantastic for me, and having soft toys and stuff, and I thought it was great, you know, actually having a character that, you know, because my name's not as common as it used to be, a bit of an older name, so it's kind of always one of those things of like having a character that I kind of, it was like, oh, he's called Roger. So it was, as a kid, we didn't have a lot of them, but for me, this is a movie that, watching it back this past week, I was like, wow, this is kind of, I was getting some serious Back to the Future vibes. There's one bit. I'm going, this literally is Back to the Future. It feels like they're going through the same tunnel, and I just really enjoyed this. And it's quite dark in places. It's a little bit. There's some things that you just know they would never be able to make now. A Warner Brothers and Disney would never agree to this at all. But I mean, what I found myself for probably now being, you know, where I pay so much more attention to so much more of what Disney do. Of the little Easter eggs, watching the characters, watching in the background on the biggest, because I think it's having the biggest screen as well, of being able to pick up all flowers, and you know, that was from that silly sympathies. You know, there's Peter Wolf. You know, I was able to pick Disney characters, which I don't think I'd ever managed to, because I think you automatically get drawn to the main ones, but now I was much more kind of like looking around in the background, seeing what was going on. What about you?
I definitely agree with a lot of that, where they'll never team up with Warner Brothers again. That'll never happen. And two, just from some of the things I've watched since Disney Plus came out that I reviewed, I was like, oh, hey, this, you know, some of these silly sympathy things. Mm. Yeah, I did that. And it makes sense that there's a lot of Back to the Future vibe to it, given the fact that Robert Zemeckis directed this and directed Back to the Future. And Christopher Lloyd is in both this and Back to the Future. So, you know, it's all they really needed was Michael J. Fox.
I think it was the scene when they were going down the tunnel. I'm going, this is the exact same location. It was just like, okay. But I'm watching this one back. It's like, there's whole sections of it that I think I'd just forgotten because it's been so long since I watched it. But I love the fact that they, you know, they're obviously setting it back. You know, back in, I don't know what it was, must have been like the 20s or the 30s or something like that. But it was,
I think it was the 40s.
Yeah, it was just sort of, I think that makes it better in some ways because it's aged, but that doesn't age with it. You know, the movie hasn't aged because they already said it in the past, so it didn't really noticeable. But there's just so much about this movie. I mean, Bob Hoskins was great in this movie, just believable as well. I think that was the main thing, kind of believe what he was doing. And I mean, I know when this came out, it was groundbreaking because, I mean, you compare this to what, you know, like Mary Poppins and Bedknobs and Broomsticks. This just feels so many more levels up from that.
Yeah, technically it's a masterpiece in that sense. And Bob Hoskins did the same thing Michael Caine did in A Muppet Christmas Carol, where he's like, you know what, I'm going to play this character serious no matter what crazy stuff's going on around me. And I think that made the movie better. If he were in on the joke on some of the stuff, it wouldn't have worked. But at the end of the day, some of it just didn't hold up for me. My nostalgia goggles didn't hold up on this one like it did on Mrs. Doubtfire. So I was just kind of like, I mean, I wasn't bored, you know, that's the thing.
It's just, all right.
I remember loving it as a kid and I walked away going, it's okay. That's kind of how I walked away. I would still watch it again, but it didn't hold up the way I thought it was going to.
See, I can't remember the last time I watched it. This is what I do love about some, you know, with doing these like retro reviews. It's kind of, it makes me go back and watch kind of stuff that I maybe wouldn't necessarily have gone back and watched. And I think it has been that long, is it kind of felt quite fresh. And I think that's ultimately sometimes where it was. And I think the whole thing with them, like, you know, just like boiling away characters. I mean, when he put the little shoe, I'm like, whoa, they really didn't like kind of, you know, dropped him in there and burning him away. And obviously there are some issues with some of the special effects that you can kind of look at it, but it definitely feels of its time. I can't see them really, because Roger Rabbit was never really utilized after this. I mean, they put the attraction in Disneyland, but since then they've really just done nothing with this character, and it is a shame. But I mean, that whole opening scene with him in the kitchen, I just love that whole bit and pieces. And as you said, there are some bits of it that you maybe don't necessarily, it doesn't age as well. But yeah, it's just a good trip back down memory lane. And I think my nostalgia goggles were firmly in place and just going, yeah, this is great. Enjoyed it. And I even, like, when you say like some things you did, what was the kind of things that you did that you weren't so keen on now?
It's just some of the jokes that I remembered laughing at as a kid when I heard them. I'm just like, I thought they were trying too hard to appeal to adults and kids at the same time, which is weird to say since Disney has done that so well. Not long after this, the Renaissance did that in their animated stuff. They've done it with their Pixar stuff. Marvel, Star Wars have all appealed to both. And it probably appealed to adults and kids at the same time in the 80s when it was made. And I'm just a little bit younger than you. And so I caught it, I didn't catch it in theaters or anything. I didn't catch it. I only caught it on, TV afterwards. And then, they don't even show this on TV anymore. I can't remember the last time anybody could say that they've seen this on TV. So wonder if they'd have kept the character to the forefront, and brought this back out more often, if it would have aged better for me.
Yeah, it's like, so there's certain, I think you said the jokes, I can see how it is a little bit kiddish in how it runs and all the rest of it. And I mean, the whole kind of like, that kind of thing of just setting that all up, which was a little bit over the top, but they played it well. And I mean, Christopher Lloyd, I mean, he is just, I mean, he's bonkers in this one. I mean, he's just doing level 10. I mean, because once he becomes
bonkers, you're crazy. No, come on.
Yeah,
he's bonkers.
I mean, especially. I mean, he was so good as like the evil side of it, and then when he went bonkers, it was just. I mean, some of the effects. There was the one when he was blowing him up, from the helium. I'm like, that hasn't aged so well, but it's just the whole aspect. And like I said, I just don't think they could have made this now, like with Jessica Rabbit. That would have been something they couldn't have done, and. Just as a whole, I really enjoyed watching this one back. This was definitely one of, you guys picked it and I watched it and I'm like going, yeah, that was a really good choice. I really enjoyed that one. Because sometimes it can feel like a chore to get through some movies. This one did not feel like it for me.
Yeah, no, this one was not a chore to get through at all, but no. It was, it was not a chore. It just didn't hold up to what I'm used to.
Okay, so if you were to give this a score out of 5, what would you give this one right now?
Probably a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I'd probably say 3.5 to 4 is probably where I'd put it right now. It's like I say, it is dropping, I think, with each decade. It's just like a power go. But I think not only with the nostalgia goggles, but also just in terms of looking at the backgrounds and paying a lot more attention to what was going on, I think really did catch my eye. But nevertheless, we'd love to know what you thought of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. We'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments below. Remember as well, you can go check us out over at whatsonatdisneyplus.com, and you can find this podcast over on all the different audio feeds, Spotify, iTunes, etc. Find it under the What's on Disney Plus movie reviews, and you can help support us on Patreon or YouTube channel members. And on that note, guys, thank you very much. We'll see you guys soon. Laters.
Later.